The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is Friday. That's probably not news to most of you. Yeah, it is Friday, and that means we open the phones wide open on Friday. We can talk about just about anything. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And I hope you know, I love to hear from you. I love to hear from you any day, but especially on Friday. And right now, phone lines are just wide open and waiting for you to call. Again, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Prince Philip, the husband of 73 years of Queen Elizabeth II, passed away quietly at Windsor Castle in England this morning. He was 99 years old. He would have turned 100 this June, but he was 99. We have known that he's been in poor health. He was in and out of the hospital a couple of times in the last 3 or 4 months, had a heart procedure, was released from the hospital, and the official statement was that he was recovering well, but the cause of his death has not been released, except that he died peacefully at Windsor Castle this morning. He and the Queen married 73 years. The official statement from the British government: it is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen has announced the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. There will be 8 days of official mourning at the castle and across Great Britain. However, the royal household is expected to extend its personal period of mourning for 30 days. Quote, per tradition, the royal family members are expected to wear black or dark clothing during this time. After a funeral service is held, the Queen is expected to continue mourning in private while carrying out duties privately. Can you imagine being the husband of the Queen, you know, the husband of the Queen. He was thought very, he had great respect among most of the people of Great Britain, as does the Queen. The Queen, I believe she is 94, Yes, she is 94 and in remarkable health for being 94. Just a personal note that you probably don't care about at all. My mother had a special affinity with the Queen. She was basically the age of Prince Philip. She would have been 100 had she lived. But Prince Charles and I basically share a birthday. Not on the same day. I don't remember what day his birthday is. But we share a November birthday pretty close to each other. And my mother always kidded that she had a child the same time as the Queen, and they were sisters and all that. I remember when I was just little, her making jokes about that. But anyway, Prince Philip of Great Britain has passed away at the age of 99. All right, lots of stories to talk about today, but it is Friday. And that means we defer almost always to the phones. And I've got Michael in Columbus on the line. Michael, you're on Bobberty Live. Welcome. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, Bob, how are you today?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, I got a question, and I was listening to Alan Parr. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. Anyhow, and he was talking about, you know, you can't gain salvation, you can't lose salvation. So once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. All right. Now, are there different, he didn't say this, but I've heard other pastors talking about different levels of heaven, depending on the gifts that you have to put at the Lord's feet?
I don't know that I believe. I'm not sure about the different levels in heaven. There are certainly will be different rewards in heaven, however. We are told quite a bit about the judgment seat of Christ, which is called the Bema seat. And we know absolutely that not everyone will receive the same rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Will there be different levels in heaven? It certainly is possible. But from a biblical perspective, it is speculation.
Thank you.
There's nothing, there's not enough either way to make a convincing case. Michael, I have lots of little theories, and some of them, if I said them on the air, they would lock me up. So, and I have a little theory about the shape and size of heaven and so forth, but. I readily admit that it's speculation, so I kind of keep it to myself. But we know there will be different rewards in heaven. No doubt about that. Not everyone will receive the same rewards. I also believe that not everyone will be punished equally in hell. I believe there will be different levels of punishment. Now, there will be fire and brimstone for everyone, but the Bible clearly talks about the greater condemnation. The Bible also talks about the greater reward. So it seems to indicate strongly different levels of punishment, different levels of reward.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your answer, Bob. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, certainly. Have a good weekend. All right. You as well. Thanks for the call. Thank you for the call. We know a lot about heaven, but there's more that we don't know. You probably heard, and it is true, the Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. It talks quite a bit about heaven. Both in the Gospels, in the Epistles, and obviously in the book of Revelation, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And some, and this is not original with me, but several preachers have said, if God told us more about heaven, we would probably have no desire to stay here on the earth. It's going to be more wonderful than any of us can imagine. In fact, I don't think our human brain and our human capability of understanding has the ability or the capability, pardon the redundance, I don't think we have the human capability to comprehend heaven. That's probably why we haven't been told more. But there is a lot of speculation about the tiny little details of heaven. And I'm more than happy to wait to find out those details for when I get there. The important thing is, there is a heaven. It is real. The Bible talks a great deal about it. And I hope you're headed there. I certainly am. All right, quick break, then we'll be back.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, this is sad. I just discovered this. It's the top of the hour. Many of you are familiar with Desiring God. That is the ministry founded by John Piper. One of the former writers for Desiring God and the author of the book, The Trauma of Doctrine, has announced he is no longer a Christian. His name is Paul Maxwell. Some of you may be familiar with him. Again, he wrote articles for Desiring God and authored some books of his own as well. In an Instagram post, I think either today or yesterday, he announced, I'm done, finished. I'm not a Christian anymore. I have left the faith. The way some of the media is portraying this is that there is an epidemic of Christian leaders leaving the faith because of a Christian rock band, the lead singer, about a year ago, he decided he was no longer a Christian. And there have been a handful of somewhat high-profile Christians that have announced they are no longer Christians. Does that make an epidemic? No, not at all. Is every one of them sad? Absolutely, yes. But it's not like there is this tidal wave of Christian leaders that are leaving the faith. That's just not happening. I am disheartened. I am sad for Paul Maxwell. In his Instagram post, he said, and I quote, "What I really miss is connection with people." Now, let me just stop right there. Does that, if he's no longer a Christian, then he is admitting he no longer has a connection with God. Isn't it interesting that someone who wrote for an organization called Desiring God, in announcing that he is no longer a Christian, says, first and foremost, what I really miss is connection with people, not connection with God. Maybe that gives us an indication as to what was happening in his life. He goes on, "What I've discovered is that I'm ready to connect again, and I'm kind of ready not to be angry anymore. I love you guys, and I love all the friendships and support I've built here, and I think it's important to say that I'm just not a Christian anymore, and it feels really good. I am really happy. I can't wait to discover what kind of connection I can have with all of you beautiful people as I try to figure out what's next. I love you guys. I'm in a really good spot, probably the best spot of my life. I'm so full of joy for the first time. I love my life. Doesn't that tell you a lot about the kind of quote-unquote Christian life that he was living? He is admitting that while he was, and I'll say this carefully and cautiously but compassionately, while he was pretending to be a Christian, he was not filled with joy. He was not filled with happiness. He is admitting that he was angry. It really makes me sad because followers of Jesus should be filled with more joy than anybody else on planet Earth. People who are followers of Jesus should have more peace, more contentment, more joy than anybody. And this man, I have no idea what his age is, named Paul Maxwell, is basically saying, I had to leave Christianity to have joy. I had to leave Christianity to leave anger behind. It breaks my heart that even though he was around some really prominent Christian leaders, I mean, as a writer for Desiring God, he was rubbing elbows with some very well-known Christian leaders, including and especially John Piper, that he was never taught, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I hope you will pray for Paul Maxwell. I pray that as he pulls away from what he perceived to be Christianity. By the way, he has an advanced degree in theology as well. He has a PhD in theology. That could be the problem. It is very possible that his relationship with God and with Christ was academic and not personal. And it compels me to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it just religion? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you know Jesus Christ in an intimate, personal way? Or are you just living in religion? Think about it. It's extremely, in fact, there's nothing more important.